That was a long passage, but a very good passage. A passage that is, I firmly believe, one that all of us need to take to heart at the day and age in which we live. And understanding the setting, Babylon was the dominant world power of that day. They had carried off the Jewish nation of the southern kingdom of Judah in 586 BC. The northern kingdom of Israel was taken captive by the Assyrians in 722 BC. We see the warnings of the prophets that God sent to Israel and Judah were not heeded. People hardened themselves. They believed lies. And as the writer of Hebrews declares about sin, he says this, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." The children of Israel are there as examples for us as a nation in general, not to follow their ways. And we see the examples that they set, that even though they had the prophets among them, even though they had men and women of God representing what they should be walking in, the ways they should be walking, what they should be doing, how they should be living, they kind of threw it to the wind and went about life doing their own thing in their own ways. God sent the prophets time and time again to them, and they hardened their hearts. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he pleaded with the people. In fact, Jeremiah lived to see this captivity that they were in here in Babylon. He says, "Oh, my anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the agony of my heart. My heart pounds within me. I cannot keep silent. For I have heard the sound of the trumpet. I have heard the battle cry. Disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruins. In an instant, my tents are destroyed, my shelter in a moment. How long must I see the battle standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. Announce this to the house of Jacob. Proclaim it in Judah. Hear this, you foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? But these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned aside and gone away. They do not say to themselves, 'Let us fear the Lord our God, who gives us autumn and spring rains and season, who assures us of regular weeks of harvest.' Your wrongdoings have kept these away. Your sins have deprived you of good. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, 'We will not walk in it.' The harvest is past. The summer has ended. And we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people." Now you think, why, Pastor, did you read so much out of Jeremiah? Well, guess what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, all of those guys were in that crowd of people. People who loved God with all their heart. People who gave everything Their lives reflected the character of the God that they served, and they had been believing and expressing what was coming, but people did not listen. And Jeremiah here, and I mentioned last week, in my sabbatical, I was able to drive across the middle part of our country again and just seeing how beautiful it is and what an awesome country we truly have, and to see what is happening and how people are responding. It is like these passages out of Jeremiah talk about foolish and senseless people. It's like, yeah, woe to you when men call good evil and evil good. We're living in these days. We need to take to heart the words that are being spoken here in the Old Testament. That, man, we are dealing with a generation that is just like the generation that walked away from God of Judah and Israel in the Old Testament. And the warning is for America. You think of how much gospel is preached in America. How much of the Bible is here. How this country was based on the Bible. I don't care what the people who are wanting to rewrite history and say, but this country was founded on Christian principles. It was founded on belief in God, a belief in the Bible. And we see these things as foundations. Now, was this country perfect? Not at all. Is any nation perfect? No, none are. But I find it interesting, all those in our country that say how horrible and evil we are, why is it we have to build a fence to keep people out? And other countries build fences to keep them in. Why do people want to come here if we're so horrible? If we're so terrible, why do they want to come here? Last night, Michelle and I were watching on TV about Undercover Boss, and they had black people that had come to this country, people from Jamaica, people from other parts of the world, because they wanted to experience the American dream. And they came here, and guess what? In spite of, yes, there are people who are racist. There are people who are prejudiced, and they shouldn't be. And we need to turn from that. And we need to work at righting the wrongs. But guess what? They were able to establish businesses. They were able to grow. And their families are blessed. The people that work for them were blessed. And it was so positive to hear that. And I thought, how come the media doesn't ever present these things? How come the media seems to have its own agenda at making America sound like the worst place on the face of the earth? And we need to change our form of government. It's like, whoa. It is so sad, and we need to wake our eyes up. The people of Judah and Israel were sucked in by such lies as this. And you know what? Living as a conquered people, there were many faithful servants of the Lord that were there. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were some of them. There were many of them. But you know what? What old King Nebuchadnezzar did is not something unusual throughout history. Many world leaders throughout history get pretty caught up in themselves, and they begin to think they're God. In fact, the communist government of China is again unleashing persecution against people of faith. And it's not just Christians that they're imprisoning. They're imprisoning Jewish people. They're imprisoning a Muslim people. They're imprisoning anyone that believes in any type of God whatsoever. And we see this call that religions are the basis of all the wars of history. No, it's not true at all. Have religions caused lots of war? Yeah. And guess what the problem with people who are religious and the people who, quote, have no religion is? It's the problem of what Scripture says is sin in our heart. Sin is what causes us to hate each other. Sin is what causes us to want to fight and kill and to steal and to destroy. And guess whose character that fits with? The enemy of our souls. That's what Satan comes to do, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we have to be very careful as Christians in America, because of the increase of iniquity, because of the increase of sin in our land, that we don't get caught up in that hatred. I quit watching a lot of the national news now because it does. It infuriates me. It gets me mad, and I see agendas being presented, and I don't see the whole truth being shared. I see just bits and pieces and making it look in a way in which it is not. In fact, I did see the Duluth station was interviewing some black businessmen that were saying, hey, these are our neighborhoods. We don't want our neighborhoods looted and burned. These are our businesses. And yet the media presenting it like some great thing that these people are doing. It's like, it's wrong. It's wrong. And I'm not ashamed to say it's wrong. And it's wrong to kill policemen. It's wrong, all this stuff. And yes, it's wrong what the police officer did in standing and putting his knee on George Floyd's neck. That is wrong as well. Both is wrong. What we need to do as followers of Jesus is to pray for our country, to be like Jeremiah, to have a heart that weeps, that breaks, like, what is going on in our world? Because we are seeing things come to place in our world. In fact, you look at history, the people that have come up, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini. Now we have Kim Jong-un from North Korea. And lots of people who have totalitarian control of government. The type of demand that Nebuchadnezzar gave to them, do this, say this, or else, is sad to say, pretty common. And you know what concerns me right now in America? Is that we have our media presenting, you either believe as we do or else. You are hateful, bigoted, prejudiced. You have no right to an opinion other than what we have as an opinion. Wow. This fits with the totalitarian government that Nebuchadnezzar had. We could go throughout history and name all kinds of leaders that had this attitude. And the penalty that these three charges that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they paid no attention to the king and his commands. They did not serve the king's God, and they refused to worship the golden statue the king had erected. And guess what the penalty was? Death. It's like, whoa, whoa. Now, Scripture is very clear that in the last days there is going to be another one-world government that is going to come on the scene. And this one-world government is going to, for one last time, in fact, Scripture brings out, this is going to be the worst one-world government there ever has been, this final one. And in fact, Daniel, in his book a little later, says, in the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. He'll become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper and will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, and he will destroy many and take his stance against the prince of princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. And I look at a passage like that, and it's speaking of recognizing that we need to, as people, recognize our battle is not against flesh and blood. This is going to be a flesh and blood person, but the spirit behind this is right from Satan himself. That's what it's saying. He's going to be very strong, but not by his own power. This is going to be the greatest deception there has ever been in history. People wondered, how could Hitler deceive Germany? You ever wonder that? It's like, I'm German. That's my background. It's like, how could people? But you know what? You read a book like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. How many have heard of the Lutheran pastor? Yeah. Who was after a while, it's like, man, this is evil like I've never seen before. And yet, this guy deceived multitudes of the nation of Germany to follow him and his ways. Well, Hitler is a type of Antichrist. Mussolini was, Stalin was. And look at their bloody history. They come to power promising all these good things. They say all kinds of nice. People are saying today, well, Trump's the you got to be the Antichrist. I say, nah, not even close, because everyone hates him. There's so many who's like, ah, rah, rah. And it's like, nah, the Antichrist. This person is going to come, and everybody's going to think, this is a good guy. That's how he's going to come. And that's exactly what Satan does. He comes as an angel of light to deceive, but it's the hidden hook that is there when all of a sudden people don't follow what he's saying, that then all of a sudden death, destruction is going to come. And that is the warning of what Scripture says about the day in which this last world leader will come. Revelation 13. Last week you were given a number of passages. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Thessalonians chapters 4 and 5. Add Revelation 13 to your list. And it's talking about this ruler in the end of time that is going to come. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. Does that sound similar to our passage today? It's like, yeah, Satan doesn't change his tactics. He just changes the, the dress of the people involved. And the people involved aren't even realizing how they're being used by spiritual forces. That's the thing, and that's why we need to pray for people's eyes to be opened. I am praying for our politicians, again, both sides of the aisle, to have their eyes opened to what is going on here, and that America can have a revival, a turning back to the God who has blessed this country. We're coming up to 4th of July, and I want to have a service here where we really pray for America and at the same time celebrate the freedoms that we enjoy, that we, like no other nation in history, have been able to enjoy. But it says, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on its right hand and on its forehead, so they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark. It's like, whoa. And now we actually have, people have thought for years, what is this going to be? Now we actually have the technology. We can see how this could be. We have computers. In fact, our little phones, I got my phone back there, you know, that can listen to anything I'm saying at any point. Do you realize that? Our TVs, our smart TVs, they're smart, all right. Yes, they bring images, but guess what? They can also transmit from us. So we see some of these things warned about being very relevant, about all the world being able to see. How could all the world see? Well, now with TV, man, we can see what's going on anywhere in the world. So we see these things coming to place. Now, is this morning to scare us? Not at all. But what I want to look at here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the faith that they had. And it's the faith that you and I need to have. I love how they reply to the king. They weren't sarcastic and smart alecks to him. They said, oh, king, they recognized who he was. Mr. President, you may be calling us to worship your image, but we're telling you, we're not going to do it. And the God we serve is able to deliver us. That's faith. That's faith, and I love that. A lot of us all want the miraculous. We all want something amazing to happen. But it doesn't always happen. All the apostles except John were eventually martyred for their faith. We sung that in our song, Martyrs of Our Faith. We see that it is a part of human history, and it is a part of history today in what is going on, that is a real threat. Is that something we should be afraid of? No, not at all. In fact, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew their God. In fact, their faith went so far as to say, oh, king, we want you to know, even if he does not rescue us, even if we have to go into your blazing furnace, we know our lives are in God's hands. We're not going to turn away from our God to worship, to do what you're calling us to do. Their solid conviction was that the God of the Bible was the only true God that there is. Jeremiah, I'm sure his words echoed with them. No one is like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power. Who should not revere you, O King of the nations? This is your due. Among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdoms, there is no one like you. They are all senseless and foolish. They are taught by worthless wooden idols, hammered silver, gold from Uphaz. What the craftsman and the goldsmith have made is then dressed in blue and purple, all made by skilled workers. And Jeremiah here is talking about all the religions that are out there that people have made by their own understanding and their own approach to God. And he's saying, but the Lord is the one true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. When he is angry, the earth trembles. The nations cannot endure his wrath. Tell them this. These gods who did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. But God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. I thank God for these words, which are a solid foundation underneath us. We need to know this God in whom we believe. In fact, the Apostle Paul would agree with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God we serve is able, but even if he does not. Paul said, I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Their confidence was that their lives were in God's hands. And that's what we need to have this morning. Your life, my life, is in God's hands. When it's our time to go. Now, I've had miraculous deliverances. Back this last week, I was sitting there thinking, I thought, man, how many times should I have been dead from just my diabetes? I can't tell you how many times my wife has rescued me before I had this sensor. Now, thank God this sensor has made it so I don't go low without a warning. And in fact, right now, I'm at 177. My blood sugar's starting to go up. I'm getting too much adrenaline here. It's going up. And but, you know, I think of how many times I should have been dead. And then my car crashes, two of them, where I totaled two. In fact, I totaled three vehicles in 3 years. And not two because of diabetes, one because someone broadsided us on the way to a concert. We had seven in our van, and thankfully no one was seriously hurt. But we have these things. And yet we all know that we don't get miraculous deliverances. I'm still a diabetic. God has not chosen to heal me yet. And that doesn't mean he's mad at me or mad at you if you're battling physical health problems. It's a part of life, and we see that. And in fact, we see that the strength of our character is also brought across by God allows trials and difficulties to form character. You ever think of that? It's a positive thing. It's a very positive thing. And faith, what we're called to, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. So we find in Scripture these truths which are here to give us a foundation underneath us. And that these trials that come, Paul said to the Romans, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. So as we come through these things, all these hard, difficult times, and I cling to my faith in God, and I realize it's not in me. I don't have the power to do this, but I cast myself in God's hand and say, Lord, without you, I am nothing. And that's where God takes us, because if we think we've got something to offer to God, if we think we're so talented, we're so good, that's not a good attitude. And sad to say, we see that many times in people. But what we say is, I'm a broken, apart from God, not able to do anything, servant of the living God. That's when God can use us. And that doesn't mean that we don't have talents and abilities, but our talents and abilities remain in humility, not in pride and arrogance. And these trials actually produce character in us. James said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Wow. How many of you consider it pure joy? I know I don't. That's the thing, but that's where our faith, that's where your daily walk. Do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a daily walk? As we're going to look at Daniel next week, Daniel was faithful every day. He flung open his window and he prayed. He didn't care if people knew that he did or not. And we see Daniel next week, we're going to look at him in the lion's den. Another miraculous deliverance. But we need to have that same kind of walk. I daily walk with Jesus. I pray, I read scripture, I read devotionals. It doesn't mean that you're so spiritual that you don't have contact. In fact, no, we need to have contact with people, but we take our time with God and go out into the world and let the light of Jesus shine through us. And we also see in scripture that we do not always understand the reasons for our sufferings. Sometimes we really don't. Like, we've had so many from our congregation die from cancer that have gone into eternity. And I don't understand how come we don't get more miracles than we do. I would sure like to see more, and I'm sure everyone here that has lost loved ones, we want to. But one of the beautiful things is, as we were at Dottie's graveside yesterday, we can look death in the face and say, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. In the Old Testament, they had that faith, the same faith that you and I have in the person of Jesus. And as Job declared, even though he did not understand all these things, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that's the attitude we need to have. Now, did this attitude impact Nebuchadnezzar? Big time. In fact, now I firmly believe Nebuchadnezzar is an Old Testament conversion, because we bring out in this passage, it brings out that Nebuchadnezzar's like, wow, their God delivered them. In fact, we didn't have it in our passage, or I kept that last verse out, because again, Nebuchadnezzar kind of acting in the character that he had, then he made a decree that any person who didn't worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should be killed. It's like, nah, that's not what we're called to do. But sad to say, look at throughout history, sometimes, quote, professing Christians have had a similar attitude. It's like, no, we're not to kill people. We're to love people, to show them our faith. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Their faith was rewarded. God honored that, and God actually worked in Nebuchadnezzar's heart. And he recognized that there is no God like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And thank God that that same God that worked in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and there, even if he does not faith, man, this morning, have that in your heart. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to walk with him. We're going to work together as brothers and sisters. We're going to make a difference. We're going to work with the other churches here in Hayward. It is so encouraging. We are getting, for that food shelf, I cannot believe all the help we're getting from churches. The St. Joseph's Church is supporting it. The Knights of Columbus from the Catholic Church are supporting this food shelf. Even the tribe out here is sending monthly support checks because they're so appreciative of the food that we're getting. Right, John? It's exciting. The Episcopal Church, Grace Lutheran, actually were on their monthly support list. And it's not like, oh, that's Spider Lake. It's like, no, we're working together. And it's like, that's the way it should be. Amen. So be encouraged this morning. God is at work in spite of all the garbage going on out there. Don't get overwhelmed by it. Don't get swept away. And this is one passage I want to end with out of Isaiah 43. And we need to take this to heart about, is God with us? Yes, he is with you. He's with me. No, we're not perfect. None of us are, but he will use us. This is what is said. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, it says, O Jacob, put your name in there. He who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Know this morning, you've been bought and paid for by the precious blood of Christ. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that. They were gods, and if it was their time, they were going to go. If not, no person, no power of hell could take their lives away. And they rested in that. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Boy, that was fulfilled directly in their passage. They didn't even smell like they'd been in a fire. It was truly, and all the people around them, I'm sure, are like, wow. The guys putting them in burned, but not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God totally spared their lives. And he says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And that's what we need to have in our hearts, that this God who loves us calls us to not lose heart. Though outwardly, Paul said to the Corinthians, we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's it, our character, what we are as a person. That's what God is looking at, and he's refining us. Ouch. It hurts sometimes. But it's necessary for us to shine for Jesus.